You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what the others promise to do, when it comes to the showdown, they won't be there.
Hand me the keys, your fairy godmother.
This is bozo, man.
Where'd you get that beauty scar, tough guy? Eating pineapple?
Stuff you.
These sound like a great big chicken just waiting to be plucked.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
That's bullcrap.
Freak you, Sam Rothstein, freak you!
I have had it with these monkey fighting snakes on this Monday to Friday plane!
You see what happens, Larry? You see what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps?
Welcome to Cinema.
All right, here we go. It is episode 151 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, just hanging out in the Crespediso. Welcome to episode 151 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo. How's it going, guys? Just hanging out in the Crespediso studio. Wow. Unique New York.
Manageable vegetable.
Irish wristwatch.
You can do it, Chris.
Oh, how you doing?
Come on.
How you doing, Drusa Cogburn? Hey, that's Drusa Cogburn over there. He's back.
I'm back.
He came back from Brooklyn, New York. How was your Thanksgiving, dude?
It was awesome.
Yeah?
I was up there with Bill. We cooked a bunch of food.
You double-fisted a turkey.
Yep, we double-fisted a turkey, put a Brazzers logo on it, so, you know.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was awesome.
The degenerates there.
Uh-huh.
The fouling, the poor fowl.
Yes, we did defile a fowl. I was thinking about doing this.
Defile a fowl.
I was thinking about doing the spit roast instead.
One on the other?
Uh-huh.
The old Chinese finger cuffs?
Yes.
Mm-hmm,
that would have been good, too.
Shout outs to all the parents listening. This is what your children are doing.
Yes.
This is what you've raised.
When they grow up to be actual adults, this is what they do.
Debatable.
I mean, age-wise...
Debatable.
Just saying. It was fun. It was a great time.
That's cool.
There's a bunch of good food up there. Saw a bunch of weird movies, which I'm sure
we'll definitely talk about.
We'll be talking about at the death of the movies.
Awesome. And glad to have you back, dude. Shout outs to Chico for subbing in last week for as co-host. Did a great job. We appreciate it. You'll be happy to know, Drew, that he won you. Drew Sigaimer wins the world.
Very nice.
Yeah. So Drew Sigaimer continues to win.
Better.
Even in his absence, he keeps winning. Good job, dude. We have... Oh, my voice cracked there. Did you hear that?
Are you going through puberty?
I think I am. Double puberty? That's terrible.
Finally?
I can't do this again. I cannot go through this again. That was hard enough. We have a first-time guest, but a long-time friend of the show. He's here for research purposes, and we are so happy to provide all the incorrect background info that we can. Because we're faking it. Fake it till you make it, flying by the seat of your pants, that whole type thing. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Joey DiSturco is here.
What's going on, guys?
Joey D, how you doing?
What's up?
Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers to you, sir.
Drink
to your arrival. Delicious Hopsecutioner. That explains a couple things there. Well, thank you for coming on. We appreciate it. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great.
How's college life?
Oh, man.
Yeah?
I'm ready for this semester to be over.
Oh,
catch up on some movies
already. Oh, I guess it is close to the end. Yeah, look at that there. It's always around the beginning of December, right?
Yep.
Got to take all them exams and stuff.
Missed a lot of movies and
because the school takes.
I don't want to admit it.
Mad Max, buddy. Look at that. Look at that poster.
I know.
Look
how amazing it looks.
It's so good.
It's so tempting to just stop everything right now and watch
it. I watched a little bit of Mad Max while I was up in New York.
Did you?
Yeah. There you go. We were bored just sitting around. What do you want to watch? What do you want to watch? Fuck it. Put on Mad Max.
Put on some Mad Max. Why not? Because it's that good.
Watch some Dread 2.
I'm sure you'll get around to it. That's good. Dread 2? Billy Dee has the elusive copy of Dread 2 that I've heard about?
Yes.
How did he get it? Where Judge Dread fights Judge Death?
Correct. He has it.
That's amazing. It exists. Billy Dee's holding out on us.
I meant also, but sure.
Hey, we made the same joke now. No, that's another show. That doesn't count. Damn it. So, you go to the Magic game after this, wearing your Magic shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Yeah. Shout out to the Magic.
They're looking, I mean, young and talented, but...
They just had their first, not sub-500 month since 2012. Something like that.
Yeah.
It's fun going to the games now, and...
It's feeling better. The energy's better there.
A
little more positivity.
Yeah, I was kind of a hater the last 2 years. I mean,
as you should be, man. Mm-hmm. You can still be a fan and still shit on the team if they're putting out crappy product.
I mean, I'm a Mets and Jets fan, so I'm used to that. So
exactly, yes.
But I couldn't support them. I couldn't go to the games.
Yeah, dude, it gets hard.
Yeah,
it gets sad. And some people are like, "What is that bandwagon or whatever?" Or a fair weather fan,
right?
But it's like, why am I going to put so much money into a product where they're just for a few seasons in a row, they were tanking on purpose so they get draft picks and stuff. And then last year was supposed to be the year where they're like, oh, all right, finally we're going to have a good year. And then, have better numbers.
That's this year. I mean, they got a lot of talent. And
they have a lot of young talent. Welcome to Magic Cast. I'm your host, Chris Crusher. It's Drew Sakai. We're here with Joey D. We're talking about the Orlando Magic and how they are not
sucking
quite so shit this year. They did just have that for November, they're like 8-7. Actually, depending on tonight, if they win, they'll finish November like 9-8, something like that. Or 9-7. Yeah. So
I'll make sure they don't lose tonight.
Go Magic. Appreciate it, yeah. Bring the good mojo to the arena. Well, we have a decent amount to talk about here. Actually, got a lot of movies to talk about. Drew, I was even going to say for the box office top five, I'm sure we're going to have to go far out of the top five. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this right here. I'm going to write down the movies.
And that's what I'm going to talk about?
And you're going to have to look for them. Because surely they're not in the top five. And this one. Because I saw a lot of fucking movies.
Okay.
Meanwhile, while you do that, we're going to go ahead and get the Crespedisa Randomizer 9000 started up. And before we do that, we got to do the old intro. So here we go. For the entertainment that you see, it's time for the Netflix pick of the week. The Netflix instant pick of the week. Week. What happened there? What happened? Did we gotta try again?
Yeah.
We gotta try again?
Hang on a second. No. Didn't get to try again.
Oh, I thought you gotta try again. If you get three.
No one's on there. I just watched it.
Oh, okay. Because if you get three bonks in a row, then we have to kick you out of the show. That's the deal. There's like a bunch of X's in there. And if you get three in a row.
They just took it off?
Is it gone already?
I'll take the one that you gave me. Yes. The movie that is no longer on.
Yeah, you can announce the one that's no longer on.
Don John.
I just saw it a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I just saw it on there too. No?
DVD only.
Wow. Sorry, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Oh, you know what? I forgot.
That was actually quite a good movie.
Good movie.
Yeah, that's why I was in there. It's a good drama. Damn, Don John. Yeah, it speaks to modern internet porn addicted generation for sure. Throw that in the trash or next near the trash.
Mm-hmm.
Get in the trash later. But we got a thumbs up for this movie. Awesome. Joey D, please let everyone know.
It is The Wolfpack.
No shit.
Which, surprisingly enough, I watched last week with Bill.
I mean, they just put it on there a couple weeks ago. I'm telling you, man, there are movies in there that have been in there for like 2 years. And then that one was just put in there a couple weeks ago. And it got picked. That's crazy shit.
That was a good movie.
Wolfpack is a good movie.
I haven't seen it.
It's a documentary about, what was it, like seven kids, eight kids, Drew, or something like that?
I think there's six brothers and one daughter, but they don't go into the daughter at all.
They don't show the daughter at all. So six brothers who they have spent most of their life with their parents in a, what was it, like a 700 square foot, like three bedroom apartment in New York.
Yeah.
Public
housing somewhere.
And they rarely were let out of the home.
I think I heard you guys talking about this.
It's a crazy movie. I saw it at the NCN a while ago, a few months ago.
I caught it this weekend. I mean, it's a really good movie. It's just really fucking depressing. Yeah. And at least one of those kids
is not that depressing.
At least one of those kids is going to grow up to be a serial killer. At least one of them.
I don't know about serial killer. maybe just maybe suicidal. I don't know. It's weird. So these kids, the only thing they know about the world is what they've seen on TV. They've watched a ton of movies. Their dad loves movies. So all these kids grew up watching every fucking movie to the point where they spend their free time creating their own props and costumes, and they recreate scenes from movies on their own. And then they show a bunch of them. Like they do some of them. Were you as surprised as I am about how well those guys did the Bane Batman Dark Knight Rises fight?
That was really good.
Yeah, I mean, actually, the kid was getting all the Christian Bale grunts and he was nailing it.
And the Batman costume that he made out of cardboard. I want those guys to make me a suit of armor out of cardboard.
Yeah, they could make you a boss Halloween costume.
Hell yeah,
maybe win you a couple contests. Yeah, dude, there's that. They recreate a bunch of Quentin Tarantino stuff. Like, that's the main hook. Like, Reservoir Dogs.
How old were they?
They're in their teens. At this point, most of them were... Well, and it's an age range.
Yeah, they're at this point in time, when the point in time the movie was made, they were probably from their mid-teens to their early 20s.
The youngest is probably, like, 13, and then the oldest might be, like, 20.
Yeah, he's probably in his 20s.
But it's like... Because they spend most of their life in the apartment, but then they did eventually, I mean, spoiler alert, there's someone recording them, right?
One of them got out.
One of them got out, and then that kind of broke the bond, and they started being able to go out amongst public, and they would always go out together. So this lady who was just out hanging out saw them, all these guys that were all dressed the same and looking all weird, and she went and met them and found out their story, and that's how they got inside the apartment and like ended up doing a documentary about them. So, spoiler. I mean, if you could put two and two together. It's about people that never got out of an apartment, but then there's a person in there documenting everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know where it's going to go.
Yikes. Can you imagine that? Like,
no.
Your reality is just movies.
I can't imagine
When Drew says depressing, now I'm thinking there's a couple moments. Like, there's one part where they're talking about their dad would take them out occasionally to go to the store or something, but they were talking about, like, man, there's some. One year, an entire winter went by, and we didn't go outside once.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes we go up once a year, sometimes twice a year, sometimes not at all.
Yeah, sometimes not at all. Like, damn, that sucks. That's crazy. Yeah. But it made for a good movie.
Yes, it did.
Their suffering made for a good documentary. And I'm telling you, all the movie recreating stuff is crazy.
It's good. You know, I had a... I kind of go through my phases on Netflix doing a documentary, so...
Sure. They got a lot of good ones on there.
And they take them down so often, I feel like.
Because all that stuff stays up there based on like how often it gets watched.
Right.
And people aren't watching that many documentaries. So if you see one on there, you got to jump on. Unless it's a really popular thing, like a Michael Moore type thing or something like that, you know. Wolfpack, it's a good one. Good choice. Sorry, Don John. But you got usurped by the Wolfpack.
They'll be back up there soon.
I'm sure it will. Mm. I'm sure it will. They always bring those, especially those indie ones, they bring them up and down all the time. Drew Sacogman, let's do some box office mojo.
Yes, sir.
What do you got over there? Where are we starting at? Number what?
We are starting at number 9 this week.
Number 9? That's not so low. I thought we'd be in the 20s or something.
Number 9 this week, Brooklyn.
Okay.
Had a weekend gross of $3.8 million, total of $7.2.
$3.8 million this weekend? On how many screens?
845.
All right, 800.
Is that the Regal in a... Yeah. Winter Park. Waterford.
Oh, is it? It's at Winter Park is where I saw it. So I guess it's getting a decent 800 screens. That's pretty much as low as you can get while still being a national rollout for a movie. Brooklyn is, I don't know how to say this girl's name. It's spelled S-A-O-I-R-S-E, something like that. But I bet you it's like Cersei or something. It's Irish. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Saoirse Ronan, Saoirse Ronan. This something lady, like this nice lady, nice looking girl who was in Hannah. Remember that one, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
She plays this an Irish immigrant named she had a crazy Irish name too, Elise. I don't know. She's an Irish immigrant who back home and it's like 1950s, right? It's 1950s. She can't get a job. Like there are no jobs to be had, and she can't really find a boy. And you know she's a very insulated person. So through some connections, she got a job and a place to stay in New York. So she moves to Brooklyn, where Drew Sacogman just came back from, and she moves to Brooklyn with a visa. And she's like incredibly homesick at first, but eventually she meets a dude, and things start looking up. She gets introduced to the American baseball and the Dodgers and shit like that. And just as she starts like getting over her homesickness and finds that she is like in a nice spot, something calls her back to Ireland. You know, like a tragedy calls her back. And when she's back there, the things that weren't there before are there now. The job and the doting admirers and stuff like that. And now she has to make a decision. What does she do? Does she go back home where she's kind of needed and like fall into this life? Or does she continue with the life that she's building for herself in New York? That's the whole movie right there.
What does she do, Chris?
Oh, spoiler alert. Well, no, I'm not going to tell you what she does. But it's a very well-made movie. It's really good.
Is this made for Oscar season? Or?
Yes, it is definitely the type of release, the prestige release type of thing. It's a romance. It's a quote period picture, that type of thing, you know, because it's very much a 1950s set. They're all about, you know, showing off all that stuff, the production design details, mm-hmm. you know, the clothing and the cars and shit. It's really well made, though. It's a very effective story. I believe it was a novel at first, you know.
Is it a chick flick?
Kind
of sounded like it.
I mean, it is a female protagonist for sure, and it's but you know what's really funny? I saw a trailer. I don't even know if it was in front of this movie. It may have been in front of a different one. I saw a trailer for a movie called The Choice, and it's like directed by the guy that did The Notebook and Safe Haven, right? But it's the same setup. It's a girl meets, she's like dating one guy, but right. then meets another guy, and they're both perfect, and she's perfect. Everyone's so perfect, and it has that sheen where it's like, this is 100% fucking chick flick. Brooklyn is more just like a really good drama, mm-hmm. like a romantic genre, but the person you're following is indeed a lady. So if you like good drama, if you like good acting, it's the way to go for sure. It's actually quite good for this type of movie. It's a very good version of it.
Right. I thought it'd be a biopic on Billy D.
No, Billy, he needs one. Maybe Drew will write it.
Maybe,
or Drew can tell it to me and I'll write it. I'll ghostwrite it for Drew. The Billy D biopic. Death at Brooklyn. Death at the Brooklyns. That's a tough one. I like Brooklyn. I thought it was actually quite good. It's a very good movie. Well made. Well acted. And it's also going to be the type of thing where, like, around Oscar time, you'll be hearing about it. Like, they'll get nominated, I'm sure. And this lady, this Ronin lady, we'll all learn how to say her name by February 2016.
That's, I mean, you said it was number 9, though?
That was number 9.
Number 9. Because they're doing the slow rollout. It's already been out playing in theaters for a few weeks. I've been hearing about it for a while. Yeah, this was the wide release. Saw it. So this is the push, right? So,
it was this week.
Okay.
I haven't seen anything on it. That's
Trumbo came out this week, yeah, too. Wide release.
Yeah, it depends on... I mean, I saw one trailer for Brooklyn in front of another movie that was an indie film. Or maybe...
No, it was in front of Bridge of Spies.
Was it in front of Bridge of Spies? Was it really?
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense because it's an adult drama, right? It's a talky movie. Yeah. So they're trying... You're not going to see a Brooklyn trailer in front of, like, a Scout's Guide to the Zombie Apocalypse.
No.
Right? But yeah, that's the only time I ever saw the trailer for it. And it made me glad because, you know, trailers give away way too much info. So I wasn't too sure about what was going on. The dude who plays the first guy she falls in love with in New York, it's mm-hmm. the same kid from The Place Beyond the Pines.
Oh, okay.
The Italian dude.
Yeah.
The guy who talks like this, like, yeah. Hey, how you doing? Uh-huh. Oh, I'm a young Marlon Brando. I swear to God, I can fake it. That guy. He's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And Domhnall Gleeson is the guy, the Irish guy.
Domhnall Gleeson is awesome.
Yeah, Domhnall Gleeson. He's having a hell of a year with Ex Machina.
Yep.
And what was he in? He was in something else anyway.
Didn't realize he was in Dread. He's the he's the dude with the robotic eyes that controls.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It's fucking Domhnall.
Yeah, it's him.
Completely missed that.
He's awesome, man.
Yeah.
The Domino.
Mm-hmm.
I still want to see this Dread tune. All right, what's
coming in number 8 this week.
Number 8, barely made it.
Spotlight.
All right.
Had a weekend gross of $4.5 million. Total of 12.
12 million so far. Not bad. Not bad for a drama about people asking questions. Because that's all Spotlight is. Spotlight is, it's set in 2002. And it's about when the Boston Globe busted out the...
Catholic
the
Church.
Catholic Church.
I didn't know this came out this week.
Wide release. It's been out for in select cities for a minute. But it just came out here. How many screens we got?
It's on 897 now.
Again, just like... And it's the same thing as Brooklyn, where mm-hmm. it's an awards movie.
Yeah, this is definitely...
Yeah, so they're doing like the small release. Right. And then it'll build up coming up through Christmas and through January. Mm-hmm. And it's worth it. It's good. Even for just being a drama, like, I still say it's worth seeing in a theater because it gets tense.
Yeah, it I mean, you see that cast.
Great cast. I mean,
yeah.
Michael Keaton, Lee Schreiber.
Decent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Ruffalo.
It's really cool seeing Michael Keaton like kind of back to, you know, doing some, getting some big roles.
Is it the Hulk vs. Batman?
Is this one Hulk vs. Batman?
Yeah. Is it?
Oh, yeah, that is Hulk vs. Batman. Yeah, how about that? With a touch of...
Hulk and Batman team up to fight the Catholic Church.
Hulk and Batman team up with the sex addict cop from True Detective.
And they fight the Catholic Church.
They fight the Catholic Church with some dude who no one's like, who's this guy? How did he get in the cast? He's gotcha. A friend of the director or something. Richard Jenkins just calls in. He literally phones his role in, and it's awesome. Yeah, it's great. It's a great investigative reporting movie, kind of like a 70s, you know, type movie, like All the President's Men and all that, mm-hmm. where it's not even like these reporters are saints or anything. It's not trying to make them into heroes. It's just showing them what they did and the obstacles they ran into and the way they overcame some shit, you know?
Yeah.
And then the busting out the story. Spoiler alert, fucking we found out that the Catholic Church was doing some wrong shit, man.
Yeah, they don't mind the whole child rape thing.
It's not that they didn't mind that, but as one character put it very interestingly in Spotlight, when you talk about the Catholic Church, you're talking about a company, so to speak, that thinks in centuries.
Yes.
Right? So what's your kid being diddled got to do with the Catholic Church? When you think about it on that scale.
Well, the Catholic Church is the one diddling my kid, so it has a lot to do with it.
Only like 6% of the priests.
Only
6% of the priests. That's not that many, is it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. It's a horrible amount. But really well made. Just very very simple, you know, very solid. Just no dramatic flourishes or with the directorial style
with the stuff.
Yeah, they just tell the story.
And
the
whatnot and who how.
They just tell the story as it is. They know it's compelling. They just let it go. And it's good stuff. I liked it quite a bit. Actually, Brooklyn and Spotlight, both very very good movies, and we will be talking about them come Oscar time for sure.
Yes.
Guaranteed. That was number 8.
8.
All right. Well, where are we going next?
Next
where
up.
Where are we going next?
We are at number 7.
I haven't even hit the top 5 yet. All right, here we go.
Number 7 this week, The Secret in Their Eyes.
Secret. No, just Secret in Their Eyes.
No, The Secret in Their Eyes.
Oh, see, that's wrong.
I am reading from...
I know. That's wrong.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Week and gross of $4.5 million. Total 14.
14 total? The Secret in Their Eyes is the Argentinian film from 2009. The American version, technically, is just they dropped the.
Okay.
So it's the very awkward
Secret in Their Eyes.
Secret in Their Eyes. It needs a the.
That does.
It needs it. So everyone.
So they added it.
So everyone's wrong. Everyone's wrong on this front in every awesome. Way, shape, or form. I went and saw this one. Actually, I think this was my Thanksgiving Day movie. Yeah, this is what I saw on Thanksgiving. And it was a
meh.
It's kind of like it's a procedural, right?
Yeah.
So it's hard not to feel like an episode of Law and Order at times when you're going around investigating clues. And here's the foot chase scene.
Dun, dun.
And you're just waiting for the dun duns and Jack McCoy to walk out and be like, give him the needle or whatever, right? But it is the whole thing is like an investigative movie. The thing is, this movie it takes place in two time periods, 2001 and 2015 or 2002 and 2015, and it does the thing where it jumps back and forth between the two,
mm-hmm.
and it's doing that just because it's like hiding, it's hiding stuff.
It's hiding the secret,
the big secret at the end.
It's in their eyes.
It's like dun dun dun, right? But it's multiple eyes, so then there's multiple secrets, and it's like dun dun bum, like that.
Okay,
it's okay, it's all right. You know, I don't know. And then there's this whole thing in there about like counterterrorism and like welcome to the war. You know, like casualties of the war on terror and shit. And I'm like, this movie has nothing to say about about terrorism or any of that shit. I don't know. That this stuffy movie where it's like red box it. The acting's good. It's got our boy Chewie mm-hmm. TUG4.
Your boy.
It's our boy. He's not your boy.
He's your boy.
He should be your boy. He should be everyone's boy. He's Chewie.
The fact that you're calling him your boy is kind of racist.
Your boy Chewie. No, it's like your boy Bernie.
Yeah, but he's an old white man.
Yeah. So it's funny.
Okay.
Nicole Kidman's in it. She's good. Julia Roberts.
She's an old white lady.
Who? Julia Roberts?
Both. Nicole Kidman, too.
Well, I don't know. Julia, for the purposes of the movie, Julia looks it.
Okay.
Like an old white lady. Nicole Kidman, though. Man, I don't know, man. At first, I thought it was just crazy Botox, but...
I think it is.
No, I think it's some sort of Fountain Youth type shit at this point. It's getting too late now. Bowties can't save you where she's at, and she's going strong.
Maybe her entire face is plastic.
Maybe. Genius. The things doctors can do these days.
I know, it's right?
Amazing. It's astounding. Nicole Kidman walking proof that they don't all gotta be Meg Ryans.
Ooh.
Or Lark Voorhees's.
Oh.
Oh, ladies, age gracefully, please. Men too, you're getting into that weird Botoxing and stuff.
No.
You're getting more and more into cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, and it makes them look just like their old girlfriend.
Yeah, stop it, guys. Just fucking get old, get wrinkly, and die. Alright? Die already. Enough people on this planet.
Seriously, just die.
Unless you're listening to the show, in which case...
No, in which case, die.
Oh, okay. Well, so yeah, this is like, yeah, Red Box, whatever. It's I can't really recommend this type of fucking movie. It's boring.
Coming to number 5 this week.
Overall, especially compared to the other movies I've seen. Number 5?
The Peanuts Movie.
We're finally in the top 5. The Peanuts Movie?
The Peanuts Movie, yes. The Peanuts Movie. At a weekend gross of $9.7 million for a grand total of $116.8.
Good for them.
That's a lot of money for penis.
Good for... Yes, it is. A lot of money for penis. It's a good movie. I'm a fan. They just did the Thanksgiving special. Was on TV the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and I fucking missed it.
No.
But it's cool because everything's on the internet anyway.
Coming in number 4 this week.
Number 4.
Spectre. Weekend gross 12.8. Total of 176.
You a James Bond fan, Joey?
Yes. I have not seen this one, though. Yeah. I usually watch these with my dad. So.
Oh, true.
Yeah, so next time I see him, we're going to go see this.
Very nice. Cool. Yeah.
They're
fun.
I hear people kind of shitting on it, but...
I mean, it's a James Bond action movie.
I think those are just people expecting another Skyfall.
And the amount of suits that this guy wears is ridiculous.
He changes suits in mid-scene. Like, why did he change his suit?
So is he donezo after this?
I think it's up in the air, because he originally signed a contract, I think, for 4 movies. And this is the 4th one. And he's been a little grumbly about it. Mm. One of the things he said in an interview I read, he's like... Like, when he started doing the movies, he was 37, so he was up for it. Like, let's do this. Now he's 47, and he said, like, when they first started shooting Spectre, mm-hmm. he could barely move. Like, he's having knee problems, and he was having trouble running. And it's like, I can't do what the physical demands of this anymore.
Yeah.
So that's kind of why he's been especially grumpy about Spectre. So, I mean, he said if his body can do it, then he'll do it. Yeah, also, to be able to get into jacked shape again, he said that's harder than ever.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping when I heard him, you know, bitching about everything, I was like, all right, one more movie, have a good send-off, and then, you know.
Spectre does feel like they tried to give him a send-off, but also feels in another way like they're trying to build onto something else, too. So, I don't know.
We'll see.
It's weird. It's kind of weird. I think they just let it... The movie is now in a place where they could go either way. He could come back.
Or not.
And then go one more, or they could do new person, slightly new style. Because the director's not coming back. That's another thing. The same director did Skyfall, did Spectre. So there's like a cohesiveness between those two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Usually they get a different person each time out. I liked it. I like James Bond enough. And I'm not going to forget. Every time someone's complaining about a Bond movie, I'd be like, man, have you seen Diamonds Are Forever? Holy cow. That is not good. But I saw it many, many times. You know, in Diamonds Are Forever, there's a scene that takes place in the Circus Casino that they talk about in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And they shoot it in there and stuff. And you see, like, the trapeze people swinging around over the fucking card tables. What a time to be alive, man.
Coming number 3 this week.
I want to go to a Circus Casino.
Creed.
Or a Casino Circus. Number 3?
We can gross $30 million, total of 42.6.
Creed is only 3?
Number Trace.
Oh, it's going to get bumped up.
It
I mean,
should.
Word of mouth. I mean,
the theater, I saw a matinee today and it was packed.
I went at 10 a.m. yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was pretty full.
Was it?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
I loved it.
Isn't it amazing?
People want that Michael B. Jordan.
And let me tell you,
he's good.
I'm not a big Rocky fan.
Okay.
And I mean, I've watched them all. Mm-hmm. I don't hate it, but, you know,
so
I love it.
It's not playing on nostalgia for you then? Or anything like that.
I got all the
Chris loves these fucking movies.
I do love them, yeah. So I'm glad they have a different perspective.
And there's a couple of things I really liked about it. Like, the music was awesome.
Amazing music, right? So good. There's like some Rocky type music in there, but then like a whole bunch of new shit.
Right.
Wasn't it weird? There's the girl character, like, she's a musician, and I was expecting her to just be like typical R&B or something like that.
Right.
But it was like this like Portishead weird sounding, like, jazzy trip hop type of thing.
Cool.
It's actually pretty cool.
was like, talking about her. I was like,
oh, listen to this chick's music.
I didn't really like her little
her involvement. That thing. Yeah. The handicap type thing.
Yeah.
I gave her something to fight for. Or to live for.
Also, what I really liked was the camera work in the fights.
Yes.
Awesome.
Right? That one fight that's just a one take. The entire fight is in one take.
Well, that and then the walking up to the second fight.
Yeah.
The continuous shot. That was awesome.
Yeah, the from behind, the continuous shots. And then even when they introduce the guy that he fights, when they introduce Colin, his epic intro, it's like they got the fire breather, and then it's like super slow-mo silhouettes and shit. Like very, very intense stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's see. And I like the ending.
It ended very well. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. This is what they did right with Creed. That they did right with the Rocky movies that are good. It's that they paid attention to the characters first and foremost. Mm-hmm. You know, it was all about 100% this dude, Donnie, you know, Adonis Johnson Creed. I bet you that's what they're going to call him now in future movies. It'll be Adonis Johnson Creed. And just paying attention to him and his struggle and all the themes of his life, tying that into the people around him, like Rocky and the chick character, Bianca, mm-hmm. I think her name was.
Right.
That's why it all... So at the end, it all comes together and it ties together and it works. It's like, oh,
man. I had one more thing I kind of walked out. I'm like, was... Didn't the Russian kill his Apollo?
Yeah.
I kind of wanted him to fight a Russian.
A Russian dude? Creed 4. Creed 4, he'll fight a Russian. He'll fight the son of Ivan Drago.
But I definitely feel like they're ready to do a couple movies with him.
Yeah, I think so. I think they found a very classy, smart way to continue the Rocky story, but like in a different tangent that will then obviously allow Rocky to finally like fade to the background, but they can still keep this style of movie going. Yeah. You know, it fits right in with Rocky. And if you put it on the Rocky scale, right? Rocky 1, 2, and 6 are your grounded character movies. Well, 5 is kind of grounded a little bit. And then 3 is like the crazy versus Mr. T.
Yeah.
And then 4 is that fucking insane jingoistic, I'm fighting Russia, right? Yeah. This fits more in with Rocky Balboa. It's a character movie. Mm-hmm. It's extremely well made. I mean, this director, Ryan Coogler, man, he's got the chops, bro.
Right. I thought it was Stallone directing it, and then I saw it in...
It's the guy who did Fruitvale Station. He's the one who came up with the idea, and he took it to Stallone, and Stallone at first was like, I don't know about this. And then he went off and made Fruitvale Station with Michael B. Jordan. Stallone saw that and was like, oh, maybe this kid's got it.
Good movie, though.
Yeah, very well made. I went in with kind of high expectations, and it beat them. Like, I really, really liked it.
And the one thing I remember hearing a couple of people say about Rocky,
mm-hmm.
I'm glad they handled that the way they did.
Yeah. It was classy, you know, the way they did all that. It's just so
What I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right?
I do. Yeah, and it's all so well conceived, and it's all tied together. It's just like it could have been over the top or sentimental or garish, but it's all so good. It's so good.
I'm ready for the next one.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I went into the movie like, it's gonna be a big movie. Well, I thought it'd be...
I mean, packed theater, man. And this happened for you, especially during the final fight scene. The people in the theater were cheering.
Yep.
They were cheering and clapping. Drew, they were cheering and clapping,
Of course they were.
Oh, one other thing. I don't know if you noticed this, because I barely noticed it. Uh-huh. Is in the movie theater, during the fight, you hear in the back speakers... like Rocky or the other coach yelling at him.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I did notice that. I was like, oh, because most of the fighting, the camera is in the ring with the fighters. Right. So it's kind of like giving you the fighter perspective.
Yeah, you feel like you're the fighter and you hear Rocky like, you got it.
Yeah, I did.
And some muffled. And
kill the bum.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, maybe this is what it'd be like to be fighting. And then all of a sudden, the instructions, like you can sort of hear them. Like,
right.
They're coming in through the fog of noise. Yeah, that is. Yeah, that's a good point, man. Yeah, I really liked it too. Drew, man, you got to see it, bro. So we can talk about it.
Okay.
Because I think you'll be impressed. Well, especially the camera work during the fight scenes.
It is certified fresh, 93%.
Well liked. What's the average rating?
7.5? 7.9.
Oh, that's pretty good. What were we saying as a consensus?
Creed brings the Rocky franchise off the mat for a surprisingly effective seventh round that extends the boxer saga in interesting new directions while staying true to its classics predecessor's roots.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, this Coogler guy definitely knows Rocky. Like, he knows the movies and the iconography and the...
A lot of callbacks.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah, but done in a way that's like...
Tied off a lot of things.
Just woven in there very well. And like the music, too. There's certain parts when certain music cues kicked in.
I mean, right when they did Creed, I was like, all right, it's going to be good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The slow-faded Creed in big, huge fucking letters.
And the horns. It's like,
yeah, I was like, oh, shit. These guys are they're not fucking around, man. It's good.
Oh, and that eye, though.
Robin?
That eye, though.
Oh, my God.
Great. Too much.
Great makeup. Great makeup work. They had years of practice. Those fight scenes were, for me, there was like a mix of the Rocky movie fight scenes mixed with Michael Mann's Ali fight scenes with the camera being like in the ring. And especially with the last fight, this surprised me. They got a little bit into the violence and viscera of the fight, like a la Raging Bull.
Yeah.
You know, like there's one shot where someone gets hit and the blood splatter, mm-hmm. and like people get hit.
Oh,
and,
man. Yeah.
And then they start like dumping, there's a quick montage, like blood getting dumped out. I was like, whoa, this is. And you can hear people in the theater are like, oh, what the fuck?
Yeah, spitting in the bucket.
Yeah. Like... Yeah, yeah, yeah. The visceralness of boxing. Shit makes me want to watch boxing. And then he put on Friday Night Fights, and it's like the most boring shit. These two guys just do my man. This is way better in the movie,
of course. Coming know. In number two this week.
Number two would be Creed,
The Good Dinosaur.
Oh, of course,
we can gross of about $40 million, total of 55.
Oh, I gotta see The Good Dinosaur because it's a Pixar movie.
I love Pixar movies.
They're amazing.
I'm a big if I'm just laying in bed, I got Netflix and there's a new like The Croods or something.
Oh, yeah.
I love watching those.
What, any sort of animated movie,
right?
You gotta check out the short film that played in front of the Peanuts movie, Drew. That Scrat.
Ice Age guy.
Yeah, Ice Age guy. The new one is on YouTube. It's in French, but you don't need it because it's mostly right. There's very little dialogue anyway. The Scrat. Catastrophe or something in space
where he creates
the universe. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And it's like, I watched it the other night again on YouTube. I was like, this is so. They showed this to kids.
So this is the last a Pixar movie before all the sequels, huh?
Yeah. We're going to get Finding Dory,
which I'm fine with, but.
Yeah, but it's like, I would like the original stuff, obviously. Right. I want more. Not to say I want another Wall-E or Ratatouille, but I want more like another Good Dinosaurs or something.
But original. I do want another Wall-E.
Another Wall-E. Are they really? Another Wall-E would be pretty cool.
Wall-E.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, they're
doing everything. Cars, Toy Story. That's all they're
doing. Toy Story that broke my heart.
Yeah, it's like
the last Toy Story movie. I almost cried like halfway through it because they all almost died.
No, they accepted that they're
gonna exactly.
Die.
They resigned their self to death and were like, you know what? We're totally okay with this.
You guys are toys. You're not supposed to accept your mortality. These are children.
Toy Story.
Children are watching these.
Toy Story was the first movie I saw in theaters.
Was it?
So I definitely grew up with those.
I remember seeing Toy Story in theaters. And it's so crazy, like, when you first see it, it's like, this is amazing. This is like, this 3D animation style looks so incredible. If you go back and watch the first Toy Story now, they're like polygon. They're just blocks on top of each other. They're the most basic looking animation possible. It's amazing how far they've come. And The Good Dinosaur, apparently, it's the hook for the animation on this one. Because it's like with Brave, they had new software to render all the hair and the clothing and stuff, right? With The Good Dinosaur... It's the first time that they try to do photoreal environments. So the grass, the water, the trees, everything's supposed to look real, even though it's all animated. And the characters themselves are cartoonish.
I mean, it's getting crazy now.
It is.
Those animations. But
yeah, one day, you know, they won't be eating people anymore.
I actually really wanted to see this in theaters. I wanted to see it in 3D. Last time I saw a 3D movie... years ago, and I'm like, this one might be good.
Animated movies are probably best for 3D because it's 3D animation already.
Mm.
So things already have depth to them. You know, just adding that 3D layer, the glasses will make it work. You know.
Yeah, I walked out of Creed, and I'm like, Good Dinosaur. 5 minutes, and I see all these kids running in there. I'm like,
That's the thing. Like when we went and saw a Peanuts movie, we saw a matinee, and there's so many damn kids. A whole party's worth of kids walked in there, but. The Peanuts movie is good enough that they were all quiet. They were like watching the movie.
Right.
You know, if so. That's what you got to hope for. There were a bunch of kids when I saw Creed. Like whole families bringing their little kids. Like little fucking kids.
What was that rated?
PG-13.
Mm. Yeah. I guess the violence, I guess. There is some language, I guess.
They say shit a couple times. Yeah. I mean, it's for the most part a family movie, but family's over 13. Come on, parents. Do some better parenting there.
Yeah, what the fuck?
So that's number two?
Yes.
What the hell beat the Pixar movie?
I mean, it's a Thanksgiving movie, I feel like.
Yeah, right?
No. Take a guess, Chris.
Was it the Hunger Games?
The Hunger Games, colon.
Oh.
Mockingjay, hyphen, part two.
Big second weekend.
Weekend gross, 51.6.
Yeah, that's a big second weekend.
$1 million, total of almost 200.
Almost 200 already. Yeah. It's so funny. This movie came out last week, opened 107 million last weekend, and there were some people online writing about how it was a flop because it didn't make as much as the last Hunger Games movie. Like, you people are stupid.
Seriously.
You don't know nothing about nothing. You just want some clicks.
$170 million is amazing.
You guys see this?
I saw it. I saw it. It was okay.
Did you?
Is it the last one, right?
Yeah. It is the last one. It finishes the whole thing. All
right.
It wraps it all up.
Are there zombies in this?
There's one scene with, like...
Please tell me there are.
They're not zombies. They actually kind of look like they wandered off of the set from I Am Legend.
Yeah, really? That's all. I'm like, what the
hell? Yeah. They're like these eyeless things. I was like, for about 8 minutes,
yeah,
a Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2 turns into a horror film. Yeah. And then it stops being a horror film and it goes back to being whatever hell it is. It's an interesting movie. I liked it better than the last one. Actually, if I had to like rank them, I would probably go, I don't know, like maybe 2, 1, 4, 3, something like
that. I like the first one.
It's all right. I didn't like the camera work. It was too shaky.
Right, yeah.
I was disappointed by the way the action was done. If they got the director of... The same guy did 2, 3, and 4. If he did the first one, I would have liked the first one a hell of a lot more.
I don't know why they do that with these movies. Change the director every...
Well, I don't think they planned on... They probably used the first director and were like, if this goes well, we'll use you for the second one. And then, like, for whatever reason, he didn't want to come back.
Right.
So then they went to this other guy. And then he stuck around 2, 3, 4. That's what happened with Harry Potter. Well, no. Harry Potter, they just got one guy. Yeah. By the fifth one, the guy did the fifth one, for some reason, they were like, this just works. We're going to keep you on. And
yeah.
So the same guy did like most of the...
Well, the guy kept it dark, and I think that's...
That's probably... Well, the material was getting dark, so he was just... He was in the service of the material. And now they got that that new one. It's the spinoff movie coming out next year, I think. The Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them or something like that. With Eddie Redmayne.
I don't think I'll see. Like,
you don't know?
Grew up with those. I can't get it.
Get back into it.
No.
I wish every time I go to Universal Studios and I see the Wizarding World of Harry Potter stuff,
right.
I'm like, man, I wish I was into this more.
Yeah.
Because the detail is incredible. There's probably like so much stuff here I could spend money on.
Yeah, I can't imagine watching it now. Like, I mean, first one came out in elementary school, when I was in elementary school. And won every, what, 1 year, 2 years?
Yeah, 2001 was the first, when the first one came out.
Everyone met up at midnight at the movie theater to see these.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And people were dressing up. Yeah. I feel like people don't do that anymore. Maybe for Star Wars.
Oh, definitely for Star Wars.
Because I was about to say, the Star Wars movies, people were dressing up.
Yeah, there's a Gandalf.
Lord of the Rings, too, though. Lord of the Rings, they were dressing up.
What's the dude from Harry Potter?
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore. I remember it's the last movie.
Really?
Yeah,
that's funny. So these people gotta express themselves somehow. Hunger Games is alright. It's not bad. If you've seen the other ones and you like them, then you'll like the fourth one because there's some interesting.
Well,
stuff
most
in there.
Of the people who've seen this
at this point, yeah, that too.
Yeah,
that too. I think you would be happy with the way they adapted. Also, weird to see Philip Seymour Hoffman in them because I forgot that he filmed a good part of his role.
Yeah.
So then, like, in one of the very early scenes in the movie, he pops up. And I wasn't even listening to what he was saying because the whole time I'm just like,
guys, just like, wait a minute, you're dead.
It's like, I miss this guy. I was thinking, like, man, he's so good in Punch Drunk Love and all these other movies. Oh, wait, what did he say? There, the scene's over. Oh, shit. It didn't matter. He could have been out there going blah, blah, blah. It didn't matter. We all knew what was happening next. So that was number one. That was number one, right? Mm-hmm. Hunger Games. All right, new movies coming out on DVD. A bunch of crap, guys. 90 Minutes in Heaven. It's a movie about a dude who died and then spent 90 minutes in heaven before they revived him. Have fun with that one. Cooties with Elijah Wood. where like a zombie outbreak in a school. All the kids have them though, and it's like, you know, like cooties, get it, kids.
Yeah.
Actually, this movie was pretty good. Good Night, Mommy.
Yeah, you said so.
Yeah, the Austrian horror film. It's pretty creepy film if you're into that kind of stuff. Mississippi Grind, that gambling movie with Ryan Reynolds and Bendelsohn.
And the Bendelsohn.
The Bendelsohn. I want to see that. That actually got some pretty decent reviews.
I just want to see the Bendelsohn.
And finally, come on DVD, Yakuza Apocalypse comes out on DVD this week.
We'll talk about that, Billy. Do you check the movies?
We'll talk about it. Well, you know, there's going to be a Yakuza Drewpocalypse in the second half of the show. All right, so before we get to the Crespo Disco, this time we didn't get to do this last week because we didn't have Dr. Drew, but the doctor is in this week. Here we go. Time for Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
You must be Doc Holliday.
Well, that's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
What, did you see that?
Well, before we do Dr. Drew's 2 cents.
We gotta do something before we just played the intro.
How about the new movies coming soon in theaters, Chris? What about those?
I was so excited to get Dr. Drew's 2 cents. I was so excited for that. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, well, I didn't know it already came out.
Anyway,
Dr. Drew did, and it's playing, and I want to say because this guy's been wanting to see it for a while. Legend is playing over here.
Yes. Right. I also saw that in New York.
See how his eyes lit up?
That's the first time in a while I remember I was in the kitchen and I looked at TV and then it kind of did a double take, like, whoa, there's two of them.
What? Yes. And there's two Mad Maxes.
I really want to see it just because of that.
Yeah. And he's supposed to be great in it. Apparently the movie itself is okay.
Yeah.
It's okay enough. Not as good as we all hoped it would be, but maybe we'll like it more than the average person. Double Tom Hardy. I want to see that. Yeah. Show.
I thought it was coming out next week or something. So
it's been like doing the slow release thing, I think.
Exactly.
And it finally just came out here.
He's awesome.
Thank you for pointing that out. That is funny. Yeah, Drew. What new movies are in theaters this week? I skipped the whole segment.
Krampus is coming out.
Krampus is coming out.
It's going to be good.
I want to see Krampus. Have you seen these trailers?
I mean, who hasn't? They've been doing it since July, right?
Have they been pumping it hard? All right, that's good. Because that looks ridiculous.
The new Spike Lee joint, Chirac.
Dude, I saw... did you see the Chirac trailer in front of Creed? I saw that trailer today for the first time.
Wait.
Chirac. The movie about
it's an adaptation of an old Greek play.
An old Greek play that everyone knows called Lysistrata. No one knows about Lysistrata. That's how you know Spike Lee's a genius, because he's making a modern-day gun violence in Chicago movie, but he's adapting a fucking, like, first century Greek comedy,
yeah,
or some shit. It's you haven't seen it at all?
I don't think so.
It's an intense trailer, and it's all about how all the gang members in South Chicago, all the dudes are killing themselves and killing each other. All their women are going on a sex strike. Like, you guys find peace with each other, or else you ain't getting a piece of this,
right?
And it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
It looks really good.
The only thing against anti-crime was the new barbershop, which.
Oh, yeah. And it's the same thing.
So bad.
It's the Barbershop 3 is another, like, anti... Like, all right, I'm down with Spike Lee doing a movie about gun violence.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think my Barbershop movie is getting into gun
violence.
That is weird.
So bad.
And that is very another weird. Movie that you should check out the trailer if you haven't seen yet. Michael Fassbender's Macbeth.
Macbeth.
This movie looks fucking insane.
Yeah.
If you have not seen the trailer for it, highly recommend it.
Yeah, check out the trailer.
I mean, just look at the poster. He looks so ominous.
Where have I been?
Why am I missing this? Macbeth, I mean, obviously Macbeth is not the type of movie where they're going to put like huge marketing behind it. Yeah. They're not expecting to make millions of dollars.
Just put out Fassbender and everyone...
You would think so, but then people are like, Shakespeare? Do I got to read? It looks like it's going to be awesome. It looks intense. And it's also from the director of the upcoming Assassin's Creed, so that's
going
to be weird.
Dr. Drew's 2 cents is do more traveling.
Oh, wait, Dr. Drew's 2 cents. Here we go.
I just, that was it.
Wait, hold on a second.
You missed it.
Wait, hold on a second.
You totally missed
playing
it.
Playing the whole intro again.
No.
We're playing the whole thing again.
Please don't.
Hold on.
Doctor. Please don't.
Give me the... Okay. All right, we'll stop it.
The doctor's out.
Travel more.
We give you the dun-dun.
We give you the dun-dun. See, that's hard to do. That takes actual, like, finger skills there.
I know, right?
All right, we got to take a break here because I need more beer.
Yeah, that's exactly what you need.
Crespo Disco time. I got a couple songs here. The other night I caught a little bit of North by Northwest on Turner Classic Movies. Love that channel. And what stuck out to me this time is the score. Bernard Herrmann was great. So here is the main theme from North by Northwest, as well as the main theme from Vertigo. And we'll be back with the second half of episode 151. You guys ready?
Yes.
Thank you. to the quest logo.
And we are back. Hello. Wait. There we go. I had to turn my headphones on. It sounded weird to me, but not to you. So we are back. How's it going? I'm here with Joseph Cochran, Drew.
What up?
And Joey D. Joey.
Yo.
I keep calling you Joey D. You fine with that?
That's why I go by.
Really? Okay, good.
My dad is Joe, and I'm either Joey or Joey D.
There you go. A lot of Joes in my family. Both grandfathers, uncles on both sides, my brother. It's a good name. Good, strong name. Let's get the plugs out of the way. Drew Sakagwa, where can people find you on the interwebs?
At antihero419, all over said interwebs.
All over the place, guys. And if you need some professional graphic design work, hit him up. He'll do you right. Give you some good rates.
I'll do you good, too.
I'll do you good.
Really? I'll do you right.
Whoa. Creepy.
You're the one who said it, Chris.
But you had a creepy voice.
I know. I had to. It begged for it.
Whoa, Joey! Where can people find you online? If you put out whatever you want. You don't have to if you don't want to.
Joey_UCF on Twitter and
there you go.
The Insta.
Oh, yeah?
UCF, we're 0-12, but 12-0 in the tailgates.
Yeah!
Seriously, 0-12? Haven't won yet?
Well, the season's over.
Oh, the season's over? You didn't win? Oh. Hey. Go Knights.
I didn't go to a single game last year.
But he went to all the tailgates. That's more than
and
I
And you have. Never lose on the... Well, you can lose, but...
Well, you can't lose. No, you can't lose.
I didn't.
You didn't lose. But they lost every game. I went to one UCF game. Back in 2000.
Hey, I was there for Bortles, and I was there for this.
Were you there for Bortles?
You take some, you lose some.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Hey, you got a Bortles. I got shit. I got the homecoming game against William and Mary. Man.
There we go.
It was a blowout, too, so not fun. Bunch of drunk college kids. I was like, this sucks. I had to drive out to the Citrus Bowl for this.
Oh, man, I can't imagine that.
Yeah, that sucked. It's way different now that it's on the stadium's right there.
Yeah, I mean, I literally walked to the tailgate and stumbled back.
And then stumbled back. Oh, man, so sweet. So sweet. Best thing I could ever stumble to and from was a Deftones concert there at the at the arena. Oh, and when Busta Rhymes did the homecoming that year.
Bus-a-bus.
Yeah, that was actually pretty cool. And then the DJ was like, when the DJ introduced Busta Rhymes, he was like, "What's up, Central Florida University?" Aaron was like,
"University of Florida."
It's funny.
Welcome to CFU.
I know this is it's off topic, but it's funny you mentioned that because, dude, I haven't been to a good concert lately.
Really?
And I need
I haven't been to.
It's my New Year's resolution. I determined that.
Find a good concert?
Yeah.
Tool's going on concert, on tour, but the closest they're coming is like. Philly.
I need like a good Chili Peppers.
The Chili Peps. I saw them 2004.
Yeah, when they're in the arena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was them, Mars Volta, and it was Mars Volta, Snoop Dogg, Red Hot Chili Peppers. It was a crazy show.
Awesome.
And Snoop Dogg had a whole band, and they were fucking rocking out.
Who is the Snoop Dogg you speak of?
Who is the Snoop fella?
Snoop Lion.
This was pre Snoop Lion. Respect.
Yeah,
I gotta go to a good concert, man. I haven't been to one forever. Anything else you want to plug or put out there? Or that's it? You're good to go?
That's it. Been lacking on the social media during the semester, but...
You know what you gotta do? What you gotta do.
Yeah, I'll be back and I'll go hard for a couple weeks.
during the break. you can email the show, cinemacrespedito@gmail.com. We'll send you stickers and shit. And, Drew, I got that shirt for you.
I got to send that up to Bill.
You know what? I also want to plug this, which is why I write things down. There's a show called Talking Nonsense. There's Eric and Stacey out in Wisconsin, and they do a show talking rubbish they've been doing for a while. I called into them once, and then they're doing a new show called Talking Nonsense that's on this channel, like Alt360 or something. And it's going to air tonight, and then it'll be on podcast form. So you can check that out. I call them up and talk about movies, and there's some Harry Potter talk and talking about books and a whole bunch of shit, actually.
Nice. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of Harry Potter talk today.
Yeah, it was good. It's in the air. It's Christmas. That's why. It's in the air. So you can check that out. And, of course, chriscrespo.com is where it's at. And also, I should have said it's at the top of the show. But I'm going to say it now. This episode of Cinema Crespedito is brought to you by latestfilmtrailers.net. Check out latestfilmtrailers.net. You can go there for all the latest film trailers, yo. And it's all split up by category, you know. And it's easy to use and it's up to date. So dig it. It's very cool. All right, Drew came back from Brooklyn hanging out with our very own Billy D, New York City senior correspondent horror film aficionado. So let's go ahead and jump right into that Billy D's Death at the Movies. Oh yeah. Macho Man.
Can you dig it? I'm coming off the top rope for you, Jesus.
For Jesus.
He's coming off the top rope, coming for Jesus. That elbow, man. Yeah,
that's right. Elbow drops in heaven.
Yep.
Here we go. Juicy Cobran, take it away.
What is up, my dudes?
What's up, Billy D?
I hope your holiday was as good as mine. Great news was had up here, and we had a house guest at Fort Awesome.
A house guest? Who did he have?
As expected, it was indeed quite awesome. Drew, Courtney, and I all ate the food, took tons of pictures, and walked across much of the city. A great Thanksgiving up here in NYC.
Oh, I see what he did there. With the Thanksgiving.
You understand?
And,
understand? Yeah.
Like a teetotaler.
During that time, Drew and I squeezed a couple of movies and some Kenny vs. Spenny into the mix.
Kenny vs. Spenny?
It's a weird show.
What
dude.
Is this? 2011?
It's a weird. Dude, that show has 6 seasons apparently. And
on what? Not on Comedy Central?
No, on something else, but it just gets increasingly stranger.
Probably on the internet. Comedy Central's like, we can't handle this.
Keeping in Drewster Takes Manhattan tradition, we watched some fucked up stuff. Nothing we watched was quite as breathtakingly show-stopping as Takeshi Miike's batshit crazy action film, Yakuza Apocalypse.
Yakuza Apocalypse. This is from the guy who did Visitor Q. Oh, Drew, you missed it last week. Rage Against Twit. Oh, you saw the tweets, though. Rage Against Twit took the Visitor Q and the Begotten Challenges.
Poor bastard.
Yeah, his life is not the same.
Miike is a man that needs no introduction around here, not but right for here. The uninitiated, he's a wonderfully perverse and staggeringly prolific Japanese filmmaker. Mm-hmm. His movies tend to be on the oh my fucking god, what have I done to myself side. But this is just part of his more fun canon of films. Less Gozu, more Deadly Outlaw Rekka.
See, it's funny he would say that. I barely remember Deadly Outlaw Rekka. Uh-huh. Something about a cop with a robot arm or something.
Yeah.
I cannot forget Gozu. Gozu was so good. So good.
I was disappointed by the lack of amputations, but it made but it made up for it in sheer narrative lunacy.
Okay.
This is pure anarchic cinema.
Okay.
Just tons of violent stuff that looks cool. The level of what the fluck on display here is epic.
What the fluck?
From vampires to pilgrims to Frog Lee.
Frog Lee?
Oh,
not Bruce Lee.
No, Bruce Lee as a frog.
Oh, okay. Frog Lee. I got you.
Kaiju, magic tattoos, and manual decapitations. It pretty much has it all. I have to say it is lacking in that magical Miyake moment, but overall it was super entertaining.
So he said it was lacking in amputations, but it has magical decapitations.
Yes.
That's not good enough.
Amputees. Yes. Because you know how in most Miyake movies he's got his little nub monsters that do whatever.
Yeah, he's got weird nub monsters.
There was no nubby. Yes, there was no nubby in this one.
Audition. Uh-huh.
There are no nubbies in this one.
Really creepy
nubbies.
But there was a man in a frog suit that whooped everyone's ass and had these weird staring eyes that made you cross your hands and shake back and forth while he punched you to death.
Really?
Dude, this movie was fucking batshit insane.
Okay.
It was really, really good.
I gotta find it, man. I gotta see this.
We also watched the Attack on Titan film saga, which is pretty awesome stuff about giants and giant skinless giants eating people flying around on wires.
Skinless giants eating wire people?
Yes.
So you're talking about the live-action Attack on Titan movies?
Yes.
Okay.
Catch Yakuza Apocalypse on Amazon Prime, if only to watch an alien kung fu hypno-toad mascot rip through the Yakuza. Now to make a Thanksgiving Luther with all these donuts. Stay hungry, Billy D.
Thanksgiving Luther? That sounds amazing. That sounds delicious. So you would recommend these movies, Drew?
Yes. I mean, the Attack on Titan series is a little long-winded, but the action sequences are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a batshit crazy premise for a movie.
I want to see that movie just because of the way they shot giant skinless people mixed with like puppets.
Uh-huh.
And they had like model cities and stuff, but enhanced with CG.
It was really good.
I want to see how
like I really want these guys to make a Godzilla movie. Like King of the Monsters Godzilla.
Nice. Well, the next Godzilla movie is going to be a King of the Monsters
Godzilla.
It better
be made by this guy.
It's not. It's going to be made by the same guy that did the first Godzilla.
Oh, nice.
And also did Monsters.
All right.
Yeah, that guy's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So those are your big takeaways cinematically from your New York City 2015 trip.
Yakuza Apocalypse was so insane.
Yeah.
It didn't make a lot of sense, but God, was it fun
making
to watch.
Making movies never make sense, man.
13 Assassins made some sense.
That's because it was a remake of a movie.
Oh.
That's why. It had to make sense because it was already a movie before.
That made sense.
But then when you watch something like Dead or Alive, like, this doesn't make
Excuse
sense.
Excuse me?
It's like, you want to taste 3,000 years of Chinese cooking? Come inside. All right. Well, hey, Billy D, thank you so much. Hey, buddy.
Yeah, shout out to Billy D. Always give me a
heads up on things to watch.
You know, I'm a big found footage horror film fan.
Well,
he's your guy, then.
He's your man.
He'll steer you in the right way if that's what you're into.
Yeah, a couple
or the wrong way, as the case may be.
Around Halloween, he helped me out, gave me a couple to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows his shit.
He doesn't know his shit. Because he's the type of guy growing up, he would go to Blockbuster. Oh, I'm sorry, Joey. Blockbuster was this thing where you have to go into the store to rent the videos.
That's what those big empty buildings
The big empty are. Stores, yeah, everywhere. Half of them were Blockbusters, and a quarter of them, oh, shit.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Hollywood Videos. Juice the car, we're in the rest of the world. No more Blockbuster Hollywood Video. Oh, no, where's my game? Where's my game?
I don't know, Chris. Where's your game?
Somewhere down here.
You can find it.
There we go.
Come on, do it, Chris.
Yeah, I did the work. Might as well use it. All right, here we go. Jurassic Gogman versus the world. Yeah, Billy's the kind of guy. He would go to the horror section. A, grab the first movie. Watch it. Take it back. Going down the line. B, C, all the way down. Watching everything just because...
he needed something to watch.
Yeah, and he's a little insane. Jurassic Gogman, your official record is 18-5.
Doing pretty good this year.
Pretty damn good this year, I gotta say. And since Chico playing for you one last week, you gotta go first. This week's game is called Bruce Willis Style.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you the Bruce Willis movie. You tell me if it made more or less than $100 million at the U.S. box office.
Okay.
All right.
This is gonna be rough.
It is gonna be rough. Bruce Willis movies, yes or no, on more than $100 million. Two groups of five, A or B, Drew, what do you want?
A.
A, here we go. Number one. The Sixth Sense.
Yes.
That is correct. Made $293 million. Number two, Look Who's Talking.
Yes.
That is correct. Made $149 million. Number three, Sin City.
No.
That is correct. $74 million total. Number four, Unbreakable.
Yes.
That is incorrect. $95 million just fell short. And finally, number five, Red.
No.
That is correct. $90 million total. Four out of five.
Yikes. Not bad.
There we go. That's why the guy's got a good record this year. All right, Joey, you ready?
Yep.
Number one, Armageddon.
Yes.
$201 million. That's correct. Number two, Die Hard.
I feel like it's got to be, yes.
Is that your answer?
Yes.
No, I'm sorry. $83 million that first one made. Number three. Hudson Hawk.
No.
That is correct. $17 million with Hudson Hawk. That was a bomb. Number four. G.I. Joe : Retaliation.
He was in that.
Yes, he was. The second one.
That's the one with The Rock.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes.
That's correct. $122 million. Number five, Looper.
Ooh. I actually saw this. No.
That is correct. $66 million. We got a tie.
No, both went four damn. For five.
Tiebreaker time. You guys need, you know what you need? You're going to need. You got a pen over there?
Man.
You're going to take that piece of paper. You take that piece of paper. And here, take this pen. Your tiebreaker question is, how many movies has Bruce Willis been in? Closest to the pin. How many movies has Bruce Willis been in? Closest to the pin.
Just acting.
Yeah, well, acting and voice acting, because that counts as acting. So yeah, how many movies has he been in? Juicy Cogman already has his answer locked in. Good to go.
Who knows?
Well, yeah, it's really easy to guess.
Yeah.
Just write down a couple of numbers. There you go.
Let's see what happens. All right, here we go. Well, closest to the pin. Joey said 45. Drewster Cogburn said 27. The correct answer is 68. Joey wins.
Oh, damn.
68.
68. Holy good fuck.
I was going to say 60, but I'm like, too
high. You would have even closer. Good
Holy
job.
Holy fuck.
That puts you at 18-6.
He's still... Is he still acting right now?
Hell yeah, he's still acting.
What is he doing?
He was just in a small part in that Bill Murray movie, Rock the Casbah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, what else? He was just... I just saw something with him coming out. Oh, yeah, the guy still works.
Did he ever go crazy?
Not really. He did have that time for a while, where he was living in the same house as Demi Moore and Ashton Kutcher after he got divorced.
Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah,
that's a strange thing to do.
Yeah, that's...
He's probably a weird guy.
Yeah.
I mean, most actors are, right? Not the stereotype.
I just feel like he's one of those guys who just had a breakdown when he got older.
Maybe he had it behind the scenes. We never saw it. Mm-hmm. I think that's how he lost all his hair. Maybe. I think he's becoming more curmudgeon and less liked as a person in Hollywood. I think that's what's happening. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, that's...
He's just a grumpy old man.
He's just a grumpy old man. And you know what?
So that happens. Just a quick question. Die Hard didn't do good in theaters.
It did okay. $83 million is not bad at all for 1988. You know, that's okay. Before 1988, I mean, up to that point, the biggest movie, like the biggest budget movie was only at $60 million. Okay. So movies didn't cost that much money. Die Hard probably cost like maybe $30 or $40 million. Obviously made enough for them to make Die Hard 2, and then Die Hard 2 had closer to 100. Die Hard 3 made over 100. Die Hard 4 made the most of all of them. So
I'm going to sound like an idiot not seeing Mad Max. I've never seen any Die Hards.
You gotta see that first one.
I don't know, man. It's
the only one that matters.
That's Christmas movie, right?
Yeah, yes.
That's what people say.
The first one and the second one are both Christmas set movies.
Yep.
Yeah.
You should watch Die Hard.
I don't watch the older action movies.
You should watch
Rambo,
Die Hard.
I don't think I've seen any of those either.
Well, the first Rambo is different from the other Rambos. The first one is like more of a character film, and then the second one is like a ridiculous action movie. Yeah. Where he's fighting the Viet Cong and the Soviets all by himself or something. And then the third one, he hooks up with the Taliban and he helps the Taliban beat the Soviets.
Yep.
And that is weird.
Yes, it is.
It's like, oh yeah, that's right. This is when we wanted the Taliban to...
help us.
Does he talk like... He talks like Rocky, right?
Oh yeah, he does. He's the old guy. He does have that weird
thing. What I meant to ask you, Creed. Does he talk like that normally?
Yeah. Yes. Well, the thing with Stallone is when he was born... the doctors needed to use forceps, and this is all 100% true. The doctors used forceps to have to pull him out because he was like coming out sideways, or it was like a breach or something. Something was going wrong. So when they used the forceps, they actually ripped his cheek during the birth, and they ripped some nerves. So that's why his lip is always curled up like that, and he's always talking a little bit like that, because he's got permanent nerve damage in his face. He's lived with his whole life.
The more you know.
The more you know, exactly. Hey, it set him apart from other people because he's a guy who talks like this.
Yeah.
He's a Stallone. What are we going to do? Oh, you know what? Let's do, let's get into the Vox Pop Fly. Let's see what the people are saying. Here we go.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Pop Fly. Vox Pop Fly. Vox Pop Fly. Vox Pop Fly.
Here you go. You can email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, tweet us at Crespediso, Facebook us, cinemacrespediso. Whatever you want to write, we'll read it. That's how we do. Drusa Cogburn, what do you got?
On the Instagram.
On Instagram, you can do it. Even comment on Instagram if you want to.
Nuriko455, it's Ron.
AKA Ron from Colorado.
So, Cinema Crespediso, what was your favorite part of The Night Before? For me, most everything Seth Rogen, because he looks damn good and funny.
He looks funny?
Yes.
He looks damn good. Uh-huh. Isn't he funny?
Yes, he does.
What was your favorite part of The Night Before?
I don't want to spoil it. My favorite part's not in any of the trailers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the character.
The character, yeah.
And the whole character arc thing.
The whole everything about it.
Yeah.
That entire part of the movie.
The weird storybook aspect of it. The Christmas Carol aspect of that movie.
Yes.
That is something weird about The Night Before. They hit the fact in all the marketing that this is like a stoner version of A Christmas Carol.
Pretty much.
Yeah. You know, it's dealing with some like
there are things that
holiday magic, spirit of the season type of shit.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cute.
Mm-hmm.
It's cute in its own raunchy, full frontal way.
The weed of Christmas present. It's the weed of Christmas present.
Like, look at my finger. Get the fuck out.
Fuck in my car.
it's a funny movie, man. Are you a Seth Rogen fan?
I feel like
that helps with a movie like this.
I mean, I'm not gonna not see a movie because he's in it.
Fair enough.
I just watched.
There are some people who would.
What is it? End of the World, World's End?
This is the End.
This is the End.
Yes, the apocalypse comedy.
One of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
My favorite part is when, what's his face?
Jonah Hill. Danny McBride.
Danny McBride, when he has, Channing Tatum as his gimp.
Yeah.
What the fuck? And he has him like present his ass and all this weird stuff. He's like, no, it's Channing Tatum. And you're the entire time you're watching this movie, you're like, that's not fucking Channing Tatum. And then he takes off his mask. It's fucking Channing Tatum, and it's hilarious.
Fucking Channing Tatum. That guy's up for anything.
He is.
That shit is so funny. That is a good movie.
Yeah.
And it's the same writers.
I watched it on FX, and it was still good with everything.
Oh, everything cut out? Yeah. That movie gets raunchy, too.
Oh, yeah, it does.
On FX, they show Michael Cera getting a BJ and his butt eaten out at the same time?
I don't remember.
That totally happened in the movie.
I started probably right after that. Right after it started.
Right after the shit went down?
Yeah.
He was one of the first casualties of the shit going down. But before he does, he's wild.
He's tearing it up.
He is so off the wall. He's like, he smacks Rihanna's ass.
Yep.
And she turns around and just
punches him.
I've seen that movie about 6 or 7 times.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. This is the End. It's good stuff. Night Before is right along the same lines, but with more Christmas spirit.
Yep.
Replace all the stuff about being a good person and a good person on the inside, that weird emotional heart for This Is The End.
Right.
Replace that with a story about dudes. Christmas timey stuff and a story about dudes growing into adults.
I love JGL, so.
Yeah. And he's good in it, too. He's really good. Second time working with Seth Rogen, too, after 50-50. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is damn good cancer comedy.
On the Facebook,
crazy.
Ron got at us again.
What's up, Ron? Again.
The fact that you chose the Dark Tower makes me love you more.
Okay, he's talking about asking what would we like to see
being
adapted.
Mm-hmm.
I chose Stephen King's The Dark Tower series.
What's funny about you mentioning it is that during the music break, you were playing the song The Crimson King from Children of Men, I think.
Yeah.
And it sounded like the 1970s rock opera, something that Stephen King would definitely listen to.
Wow, cooked out.
Hello, listen to it. Totally think that he used that song for inspiration for the main protagonist in the Dark Tower series, the Crimson King.
Hmm.
It's very funny how the world works its ka. I didn't read that Matthew McConaughey would probably play Randall Flagg if they did that movie.
Yeah, there's some talk about McConaughey signing on to be one of the bad guys in the first movie, but I don't think it's a recurring character. It might be someone else that's only in the first book, the Gunslinger. Yeah, man, Dark Tower is so good. And yeah, I could see Dark Tower being scored to a bunch of 70s prog rock.
Totally.
It's a fantasy western with like... dum, 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 bam, ching, dum. Okay.
Paul Hine got at us.
What's up, Paul?
He wants us to talk about the Captain America : Civil War trailer.
Have you guys seen that trailer?
Yes, I have.
Good. Because I forgot to ask you to watch it beforehand.
Uh-huh. Good job.
That's good. We've all seen it.
Yeah.
So you can see the trailer at latestfilmtrailers.net. So what'd you guys think of the trailer?
It was good.
Yeah?
I'm interested to see where's Spider-Man?
Yeah.
They're still withholding Spider-Man. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah. He is going to be in it?
Yes, for sure. For sure. And as Spider-Man, too.
Yeah. I guess I'm glad they didn't show...
You gotta hold something back.
That'd be pretty cool. Like, you see him just like come down upside down, just
it's like point. Yeah. What's up, guys?
Like really comical.
Because
it is kind of a heavy trailer. Like it's very brooding and foreboding. Then if he just like, hey guys,
I mean it's just like what was it, Winter Soldier? The one before.
Yeah. It feels like it's continuing that very much. Absolutely. I mean, obviously, with Bucky being a main character of this one, you can't help but feel that. They didn't show any Paul Rudd either, and he's definitely good at
that's what I thought. I thought someone has like a picture of him, or maybe it's not him.
Oh really? Still some allusion to him in the trailer.
Does he always wear red? Or does he wear all black?
No, it's red. It's red.
It's red and black. But
there's some guy
red.
In like all black who has like. That's
a Black Panther.
That's Black Panther.
Oh really?
That's
the fucking Black Panther.
That's badass Black Panther man. Who I want to see that fucking movie.
I saw a still of like that frame on the internet where you can actually like kind of get more detail in it.
Yeah.
His costume looks fucking awesome.
That's what it's, you know, and this is coming from a guy who says all comic book movie costumes look like
awful.
Shit.
They do.
This one
looks good.
He looks like a fucking badass.
He looks like a boss.
And then he does a drop kick at one point.
Yep.
And I'm like, what is this?
He's doing the Mad Max drop kick.
The Junkyard Dog here.
Yep. Yes, he is.
And then they're fighting on an airport tarmac. Uh-huh. I mean, so they spend all the money on the costumes. They're like, oh, we need... We're gonna stage this fantastic fight in the most boring, rote place possible.
Yes.
At an airport. That is weird.
It's kind of weird.
But anyway.
Looks good, though.
I mean, I think it does. I mean, obviously, all these Marvel movies, they're starting to look the same because it's the same production teams, mm-hmm. and they have a style that they're adhering to.
Are we going
to
get any more before Star Wars, or is this what they're going to show?
I think this is it. That's the trailer that's going to play in front of Star Wars. I'm surprised that they put out online already.
I think it leaked, didn't it?
Was that a leak? A lot of times when there's a leak, then the studio will then try to get out ahead of it, and then they'll put out the trailer themselves. So that they can get all the views and stuff. Mm-hmm. And usually a leak is kind of lower quality, stuff like that. But we're definitely getting... That's the trailer we'll get in front of Star Wars, as well as new trailer for...
What's the other one? The
Justice League.
One. X-Men.
Ah, yes, X-Men Apocalypse.
Justice. X-Men Apocalypse. We're going to see our first trailer in front of...
Actually, yeah. I'm a big X-Men guy.
Oh, yeah. This new one's supposed to be the longest of all of them.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I like
that. It's good. So that's good for you. More
and
X-Men.
I like DC. So,
I've always been, when it comes to the characters, I've always been more of a Batman Superman guy.
Yeah. I love Superman. So,
yeah. I'm
excited for that movie too.
I want it to be good. I really do.
Yeah.
And I am excited for it, you know, like in a DC, I'm not even a DC fanboy, but in a Batman Superman fan way, I am excited for it, but it could be such a mess. I saw something online that this isn't really a spoiler. It gives us an idea of the kind of trouble we may be in. I'm pretty sure Doomsday is in this movie. I'm almost
Doesn't
positive.
Doesn't he kill Batman or Superman?
Traditionally, yes. Yes, but so how are they going to be, that character associated with that storyline, how are they going to squeeze that character into this story? In the marketing, we've barely seen any Wonder Woman. We haven't seen any Aquaman. We haven't seen any Cyborg.
I hope they're just cameos because, I mean, they got full movies coming out.
They got to be extended cameos of some sort. Yeah, they do. They're already working on the Aquaman movie.
Yeah, and Aquaman, Flash, Wonder Woman.
Yep.
No Batman. I saw a list.
They did. Because they announced the Batman one more recently. The list came out a while ago.
Okay, I just looked on IGN.
They announced 2018, The Batman, to be directed by Ben Affleck.
Well, yeah, I heard you.
Yeah, that happened after they started filming this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
footage started going back to Warner Brothers, and they're like, we really like what we're seeing out of Ben Affleck, so we want to keep going with this. We want to push this hard. We'll see. That's gonna be some crazy wild shit. Civil War is gonna make so much money.
Speaking of X-Men, though, I was just reading that mm-hmm. Xavier is gonna start going bald this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
it's about time.
Yeah, he. Who's the actor?
James McAvoy.
Right. He is like, yeah.
I do remember he like Instagrammed a picture of himself with a shaved head.
He's like,
something.
Yeah, something really bad happens. That half I pull it out and half it falls out.
Oh, really?
That's what he said. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Intense.
Yeah.
That's really intense. I figured you just shave it just to get a better connection with the Cerebro thing. That would make more sense, right? Direct skin to contact. And supposed to be also this X-Men's going to be wrapping up this trilogy of movies. So what they started with First Class... This is supposed to end it, but then they're going to keep going with characters that they introduce in Apocalypse. They're going to make a whole new trilogy a new young Cyclops and Jean Grey and all that.
I'm kind of worried, honestly. These two and the next one coming out. Awesome.
Days of Future Past and First Class. Yeah, I like them better than the first three X-Men movies.
The only thing I didn't get, and maybe you know this, Drew. I thought Xavier died in the last original X-Men trilogy. Didn't he die?
In The Last Stand? Did he die? He may have.
I think he died.
And then, I only saw it in theaters.
And then I saw Days of Future Past. I'm like, what is he doing?
I
thought he's dead.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't remember Last Stand.
Yeah, I don't remember at all. This is so awful.
But I remember he had a cameo in X-Men Origins: Wolverine.
Right.
Right?
Yes, he did, yeah.
But that movie took place like in the 60s mm-hmm. or 70s. Anyway, I don't know. That was a shit film. No one talks about that one. Yeah. And then meanwhile, we got the Wolverine 3 coming out then, which will be the last time with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
The last one was.
I liked the last one quite a bit. I thought it was very good. Anything else from the Vox Populi?
Yes. On Twitter, @RageAgainstTwit got at us. Attack on the Block is pretty dope. Boyega is incredibly believable. Cool aliens. As a youth, he could pass as young Denzel.
John Boyega, young Denzel.
He got a little fat to be Denzel anymore. I saw
he can lose the weight.
I saw the new Star Wars trailer. He's looking a little thick.
A little thick. He's always a bigger. I think he is a bigger guy because I saw him in this movie Imperial Dreams at the Florida Film Fest, and he did look bigger than he did in Attack the Block. But I think it's just because he's still a growing young man.
Yeah,
he's still a young dude. Attack the Block is a good movie. That's a really good English sci-fi film from like 3 years ago. And this dude, John Boyega, that was his first movie. I think he did like one or two small things after that, and now he's in fucking Star Wars.
Yeah.
About to blow up.
Yeah, he's about to be Boyega.
Everyone's about to know who John Boyega is. And he is so good in Imperial Dreams and Attack the Block that I wouldn't be surprised if he is one of our next like young movie stars for sure. Yeah.
Like your boy Chewie.
Like my boy Chewie. Or Michael B. Jordan. He's my boy too. That guy has got movie star written all over him.
He's awesome.
He is so
and
good.
He still wants to be in Fantastic Four. I just read that.
Yeah, and you know what? I just read that Fox pulled Fantastic Four 2 from their schedule. They had it. They had it slotted. Like, this is coming out in, like, 2017 or whatever. And then they just put out a new schedule, and it's not there anymore.
I mean, let's have a X-Men Fantastic Four.
Crossover. Just go straight to the crossover, guys. Just get it done. And give it to someone that's good. Like a
I think
Vaughn.
If that happens, it's going to change the game. Like, we're going to have a lot of crossovers.
It's starting already.
With Spider-Man.
Because Avengers, all that shit, that they're forcing everyone else. That's why we got the Justice League movies coming out. Universal, they're doing monster movie crossover stuff.
I'm saying from Sony, Fox, Marvel.
Oh, studios working
there's
together.
There's
going
to be a lot of crossovers with that.
Sure, if you can present it to them as, hey, we can make money this way. Yeah, because Sony's working with Marvel with all the Spider-Man stuff. Because Marvel's going to produce the solo Spider-Man movies, but they'll still be like released with Sony.
Yeah.
Yeah, their name's still going to be on it. And they're going to be so happy because they're going to give it that Marvel touch that apparently almost anything they do works.
Yeah.
And Sony gets to take some of the credit for it.
Speaking of Marvel, we've been talking the last couple minutes.
Uh-huh.
Jessica Jones is awesome.
Oh, man. I haven't watched it yet.
I saw the first episode. That's it. It's good. I'll rewatch the first episode with you because it's good.
Faster than Daredevil too.
Yeah,
Daredevil is a little too slow for me. I liked it.
Daredevil took a while. I mean, the bad guy wasn't introduced until the fourth episode.
Right.
Yeah.
And this, she's just a badass.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It's good.
I like Kristen Ritter.
Yeah.
I always liked her ever since I saw her in Breaking Bad.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
she was the girlfriend, the ex junkie girlfriend, who became the current junkie girlfriend.
Overdosed on heroin,
then became the dead girlfriend.
Yep.
She had a very big character arc there. Ex-junkie, good.
Yep.
Yeah. But she did great, Kristen Ritter.
Whoever the bad guy is. I think he was a Doctor Who. I'm not sure.
Yeah, he was the...
Oh, one of the Doctors?
Yeah, I don't think he was the last Doctor, but I think he was the Doctor before that.
Not the guy who was in Only God Forgives.
Yeah, the guy before that.
Matt Smith. Yeah. Matt Smith was the guy who was in Terminator.
Yeah.
So the guy before him.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea who
guy's very bad. Very good actor. Wait, he's for good the character. Yeah. I mean,
so did you watch the whole thing?
I have 2 episodes left.
How many episodes are there?
13.
All right. So you're getting through pretty good. Yeah, I've been hearing nothing but good things about it. I guess I gotta get on. So crazy how Marvel just keeps cranking that stuff out. Then why can't they make a good Hulk movie?
I know, right?
I mean, Incredible Hulk was okay, I guess. Going back to Civil War, I like that William Hurt is back as Thunderbolt Ross because he's a great actor.
I love William
Hurt. He's only in the suit, but he's a general from there. Yeah, William Hurt's great. You were talking about how, so now they're doing these movies, like crossover movies and whatnot. Universal's doing that with their monster films, right? So they're doing new Mummy movies and Frankenstein movies and Creature from Black Lagoon.
Was Victor Frankenstein Universal?
It is not. Because the Frankenstein, I think, is public domain.
I actually kind of wanted to see that.
It looks ridiculous.
I know it does, but I like the two actors there.
I like
Harry
McAvoy.
Potter.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
Xavier.
It's Xavier and Harry Potter. Yeah, absolutely. They create life from dead flesh, and it's a CG monster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll see it eventually.
Red Box.
The thing is, there's so many movies out right now.
I mean,
it might end up being a Red Box type thing.
Yeah.
But Universal, they want to make like a Mummy movie, and then they want to make a Dracula movie, right? Another one on top of Dracula Untold. They want to make another Dracula movie, and then down the road, they're going to make a movie where all these monsters are crossing over into each other's films, and it can all build up to like a Van Helsing movie, where Van Helsing has to fight everyone together, do that whole thing again. But they want to do a connected universe style, because that's what's making Marvel so much money. Apparently, word is they're doing the Mummy next, and they're looking for their hero And they get the feelers out. They're talking about maybe bringing in Tom Cruise to be in their Mummy movie.
What?
That's fucking weird.
If they can land him, then they're right? set.
That's, like, Tom Cruise does not need the Mummy. The Mummy needs Are Tom they Cruise. Rebooting.
Like, the Mummy as...
Yep. From scratch, okay. again. Because Universal owns all those monsters. You know, they made them popular in the 30s.
If they make it a little more...
modern
horror-ish. I mean,
yeah,
because the other one
was like action adventure.
Yeah.
The original one is more horror, but 30s horror. Mm-hmm. You know, so
just scary.
Yeah, so it's not, you know, obviously not going to be scary to us now. Maybe that's occasional shot here or there.
That's what I think of. I used to, when I went to Universal with my dad, we used to eat at the monster cafe.
And
I'm watching, they have them all on the screen. It's like, it's way different, the style. And if they can somehow tie that in, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, kind of bring it back. But the thing is, I think they're going for money. And I think that action adventure slant, maybe with a little bit of horror in it, will make them more money than a straight horror film. But I agree. Mm-hmm. I think they should kind of embrace the darker aspects of their monsters for crying out loud.
So they just want Tom Cruise to do World War Z with the Mummy.
Yeah,
pretty much. I mean,
yeah,
that's all I'm thinking.
That sounds about right. Mm-hmm. But it's not like it would be his first. It's not his first time flirting with a big budget horror type of project. Guillermo del Toro for a while was trying to make an adaptation of At the Mountains of Madness, which is H.P. Lovecraft's story from the 20s, which is about an expedition that goes up to goes to Antarctica, and they uncover gigantic frozen structures, like in the glaciers. They find these frozen structures, and within them, frozen aliens that are actually like ancient gods. And then they bust out and they unleash like horrors on the expedition. They're killing everyone, and it's like the Cthulhu gods, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And he tried to make that in like $150 million big budget horror film with Tom Cruise in the lead, and then it fell apart. They lost funding, so he was almost in a huge horror film.
Actually, sounds kind of good.
It does sound kind of
good. Sounds like Prometheus.
That's the thing. Prometheus came out about a year or two later and kind of like stole all that thunder because they're taking shit from the original book.
Right.
You know? That's the thing when you adapt something really old. It seems like you're doing a retread of all these other movies, but really all those other movies are just ripping off that one thing.
Right.
It's like what happened with John Carter. You know? Everything ripped off John Carter. By the time they came out with the John Carter movie, it's like, I've seen this already. You know? It's weird how that happens, but that's how it happens sometimes. I'd go see a goddamn Tom Cruise Mummy movie.
Yeah, I mean, he's been doing a lot of sci-fi lately.
Oblivion and Edge of Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. I like them all, so.
Yeah.
Especially Oblivion, I really like that.
I like the way it looks.
Yeah,
I love the design. Awesome. I really like those round robot security droid things. Mm-hmm. Like, they were very intimidating, like, the way they moved and they sounded. And then there's one shot when, like, they're breaking into their home, or there's a big white ball thing, and it's, like, slowly entering their domicile, and it's, like, pushing past the curtain really slow. There's something about that image that really, really stood out to me. All right, in 3 weeks, we got Star Wars. All right. Little movie called Star Wars, The Force Awakens, is coming out December 18th. You got to figure out when we're going to see it, Drew. That's going to be... It's going to be an interesting couple of days. Yeah. We're going to have to go to like a 7 a.m. show or something. Some theaters are going to be doing that, 24-hour showings.
Really?
Yeah, you could see Star Wars like 4 a.m. if you want to.
I need to get into Star Wars.
You get into it?
Yeah.
You know, the way this one, it's setting up a new trilogy. When I called into Eric and Stacy, we were talking about that. The guy who hosts that show, Eric, he hadn't seen any of the original Star... He still hasn't seen the original Star Wars movies, and he's only seen like... Episode 1 and part 2, and like he couldn't get through. I was like, bro, those movies suck.
That's the thing with me though. Like those first, the 1, 2, 3 are the first 3 movies for me.
Sure.
That I've seen.
Oh, that's happened to generations, a couple generations of people. Yeah, absolutely.
You poor bastards.
Yeah, that sucks. It kind of kills the whole I am your father thing. Mm-hmm. Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. It's like, but we knew this for 4 movies already. We've known this now. You can't watch them in that order. But I mean, this one is a whole new thing now. And you know what? There's gonna be like little kids going to see episode 7.
Be their first movie.
Yeah, it's gonna be their very first one. They may not watch Empire Strikes Back for like another 20 years. And then by then, man, the effects then are gonna look really
wonky. So are they just trying to, I'm sure there's a lot of books, right? For Star Wars.
They did, but they also throw all those books out.
Okay.
When Disney bought Star Wars.
Like, I know they have all their old characters in it, but are they trying to just have a clean slate now and just starting a new story?
Yeah. New trilogy. Okay. I mean, I think it's continuing the story of the Skywalker family, mm-hmm. right? But it's still a new story. New characters that are going to take us through a new trilogy. Meanwhile, so we're getting one of these movies, episode 7, 8, and 9, every other year. Between those years, we're getting separate Star Wars movies. As long as people turn out for these things, Disney is going to make a Star Wars movie every year for the unforeseeable future. And until people stop going.
I don't know about that.
And they'll never stop going.
Never.
They're going to kill it themselves then.
It's possible. It's possible. But then again, I mean, the fervor for this one is so... That's such a pitch. It's such a pitch that, you know, the opening weekend is a huge conversation around it. How much money is it going to make in its first 3 days at the box office? Will it break Jurassic World's $208 million opening weekend record? Which itself, that shocked everyone. No one was expecting Jurassic World to make that much money.
Do you think the weight is really driving up the hype for this?
I don't think so. I mean, it's been 10 or 11 years since the last Star Wars movie. Episode 1, there was a bigger gap. There was like 15 years between Star Wars movies.
I'm just saying, like, obviously more than a year. If they're doing one every year, I think it's going to run out.
Yeah, but people, that's what I think too. But that's also what I thought with the zombie stuff. I thought the zombie genre was dying out like 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's going stronger than ever, at least on TV.
Damn Walking Dead.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And AMC is working on another zombie show that they're going to put out. And the Marvel movies, like, they're cranking those out. Superhero movies in general.
Different stories, though. Like, I'm fine with that.
Well, it's the same thing with Star Wars. Different stories. The Star Wars Rogue One is supposed to be like a heist movie because it's about the guys, the people stealing the Death Star plans. A Han Solo movie is going to be, he's a space pirate. So that whole thing is going to be just him swashbuckling his way through the stars. A Yoda movie, that's going to be its own thing. It's going to be weird as fuck. I don't know about that either.
How are you going to build a whole movie?
Like, I love Yoda, but I don't know if I need a whole Yoda movie. You know, I was fine with just Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. I didn't need to see him flipping around and Attack of the Clones.
Yoda still around? And is he going to be in this next one?
No. Well, they could do the whole thing where it's his ghost. Ghost Yoda. Because the Force ghosts that they do.
No, Baby Yoda. Yoda Jr.
I'd be down for Yoda offspring. Oh, Yoda sex. That'd be weird. No one wants
it's
to see
a girl
that.
Yoda?
It's gotta be, right? Where did Yoda come from?
There we go.
Right? The chicken or the egg type of situation. Well, people are saying, you know, Disney can make a shit ton of money. How much is it gonna make? Disney put out their official, like, what they think it's tracking at, what they think it's going to make opening weekend. And Disney thinks Star Wars will make $170 million opening weekend, which will put it at, like, the fifth biggest opening weekend of all time. Maybe the fourth, something like that.
I can see it higher and lower. I mean, what is Christmas Day, right?
1 week before.
Okay.
So that's the thing. I think a lot of people, I think a lot of people might end up waiting a week. When they're with their families Christmas weekend and then go to see it. I think it's going to have a huge second, third, fourth weekend. But how big is that first one going to be? 170 is still pretty damn good. The biggest December opening is $84 million. So if we made 170,
what movie was it?
The Hobbit. The first Hobbit. The Unexpected Journey into Boringness. Better than The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, but only four of them show up.
Still haven't seen it.
Yeah, I liked it. I like Lord of the Rings.
I love Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings series was awesome. The Hobbit was garbage.
I didn't like the Hobbit movies, so they bored the hell out of me.
I had to read that in like 7th grade or something.
I remember reading it, yeah. It's a delightful book.
I still have the book.
It's also short.
Right upstairs.
It's also a short book. Those movies are so long. Yeah. So if it makes 170, that's what Disney is thinking it's going to make. Even if it makes less than that, if for some reason it makes 150, that's still phenomenal. And there will, just like with The Hunger Games, there'll be people out there that be like, oh, it made $150 million. It didn't break all records. Disappointment. You know, flop. Financial disaster. That kind of bullshit. I hate that stuff.
Are they going to start owning December? Or is that their plan? Do December every year?
Not necessarily. I think because this movie was originally supposed to come out in May.
Yeah,
but J.J. Abrams asked for more time, so they let it. They gave him until December. He wanted to put it out May of next year, and they're like, "No, that fucks everything up." So
we don't even know.
So it's gonna be every other year, right? It's gonna be Star Wars Episode 7, 8, and 9 will all come out. Like the episode numbered ones will come out in May. Your anthology ones, your Han Solo movies and shit, will come out in December, November. I bet you.
I think it'd be cool if it was just December every year. Like, that'd be cool.
Make it just a thing so you know.
Yeah.
At the same time every year.
I think
year.
They should too. I mean,
well, yeah, we'll see if they change their. Because they want those May opening weekends. They want the first weekend of May. That's when your Avengers movies come out. Civil War comes out the first weekend of May. Batman vs. Superman had picked the opening weekend of May 2016. Yeah. They picked it first. And then Marvel was like, oh, we're going to put out Civil War the exact same weekend. And the Batman vs. Superman people were like, well, what the fuck, guys? That's not cool. And they pushed it to March because they didn't want to get blown out of the water by Marvel. That would have been embarrassing. So embarrassing. Mentioned it earlier. Toy Story 4 announced. Let's see. I have a quote here from someone over at Pixar. Talking about why. Why would they even do a Toy Story 4? Here we go. In the case of Toy Story, we had basically the perfect trilogy. So in this case, it's not like, okay, you can go on to the next step. We really wrapped that one up. At this point, you've got to go in a very different direction. This is a different kind of exploration. So apparently, Toy Story 4, based on that, and what we already know, we've heard already, Toy Story 4 is going to be more of a romantic comedy. That's the angle they're going. And it's going to be about Woody searching for his lost love.
Who's that?
Little Bo Peep. Who disappeared between 2 and 3. She wasn't in 3.
I'm sure it'll be good, but...
because it's Pixar.
Yeah.
But how good will it be? Will it be like, Cars good? Because that's okay. But we're used to... shit, like Toy Story, man. Those movies are so good. Yeah. Or Up, you know?
Well, Wally.
I don't know if I want it to be 4, though.
It's like, why are we going back to the same well, guys?
Yeah.
You can do something different. We know you can. You do it all the time.
Maybe. I don't know either. Same voices?
For sure. I mean, now the Slinky, the dog, they had to change that person.
It's Ernest, right?
It was Ernest. Yeah, but Ernest died. Ernest died before they even did the second one, I think. Or maybe right after the second one.
My dad loves those movies. Ernest movies.
They're so... I love the first... make no qualms or excuses. I love the first 3 of them. Goes to camp, saves Christmas, goes to jail. Love those movies. Saves Christmas, shot here in Orlando. 1988.
Is there a Halloween one?
Scared Stupid.
I remember that one.
Yeah, that's where, for me, it starts going downhill.
And I'll, like...
And then after that, it gets weird. He goes to school. He goes to Africa. Yeah. He rides again.
He used to do the ew, right?
Yeah, he did that. My favorite part of Ernest Goes to Camp was all the Eggs Erroneous stuff. When the fat chef was making Eggs Erroneous and throwing different items into a machine and then makes something gross and makes Ernest eat it. And he's like, ew. Then he's got it. And then he goes into it. It's like, classic stuff. Classic Ernest. Drusick Cogburn's a huge Ernest fan.
Not really.
Huge fan.
Nope.
He's got that Ernest tramp stamp.
No.
Yeah. It's on his lower back, it says, hey, Vern. On his lower back.
That's really weird.
Yeah. Well, you're the one who got it. It's a weird guy. It's a weird guy over here. This guy. Right now, he's looking up more designs to add.
Yes.
Because it's Christmas. He's going through Ernest Saves Christmas stills to figure out what he's going to put on his bicep under his Ernest Goes to Camp tattoo.
Correct.
That's just a picture of Ernest with his hair stuck back and chewing on a toothpick. Yeah. It's weird. He's a weird guy.
You're a weird guy.
You're a weird guy. You're the one with all these tattoos.
I am.
In the Ernest obsession.
Except I had no tattoos.
Sure you don't. That's what you keep telling yourself. Why would you tell yourself that?
I'm not talking anymore.
Apparently, you haven't been talking at all, so what's the difference? Here we go. Lightning round time. Oh, you're ready for this one.
We
better
give
be.
You the questions.
Better be ready.
You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, Joey, I got 10 questions. I need 10 answers. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right, Drew, start that clock.
And go.
Number one, what is the last thing you watched on TV?
Jessica Jones.
Number two, would you rather bungee jump or skydive?
Skydive.
Number three, the country or the city?
City.
Number four, have you ever won a trophy?
Yeah, I mean, last place in baseball every year.
Give out those trophies. Number five, do you sing in the shower?
No.
Number six, where did you grow up?
Brevard County. Brevard, Florida.
Brevard. Number seven, how many rings before you answered the phone?
Oh, I don't care. Just whenever I get it.
All right. Number eight, do you have pets?
No, I do not.
Number nine, rubber chicken or chicken salad?
Chicken salad?
And number 10, I'm thinking of a color. What is it?
Blue.
Drew, what did I write right there?
Blue.
Hey, good job. Good job. Very well done. Brings us to the end of the show, which means it's time for some swag bags. Drew, please show him these swag bags we have over here so he can choose one of them. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Your participation. We have the stripey one. We got the brown one. We got the other stripey one. We got the white one with polka dots.
I'll do the brown one.
We're doing brown. Drew, break out the bag. Let's see what we got in there. So many wonderful things.
All right.
You could possibly be going.
Oh, you've got the original whoopee cushion.
The original.
From Flarp.
Oh, it's a Flarp brand whoopee cushion. That's good stuff.
Oh, we got you some Star Wars The Force Awakens paper plates.
There you go. Keep it going with the Star Wars.
Got you a Crespo Diso bootleg edition of A Few Good Men.
Hey.
There you go.
I want the truth.
And some Cinema Crespo Diso stickers.
Some Cinema Crespo Diso stickers. All right. That's everything that's in there.
Everything that's in there.
You can take all that wonderful stuff home, or Joey, we put it away, and you can take what's in the box that Drewster has right over here.
What's in the box, Joey?
What's in the fucking box? Or you can take the bag. Yeah, all that sweet stuff. You got the movie. You got the thing. You want to know what's in the box. All right, here we go. Drew, if you don't mind. Oh, you're holding it for him, Joey. Go ahead and pop the top there. Reach in there and see what we got. Let everyone know what we got.
What is that? A crystal growing kit?
Oh, you got a magic crystal growing kit.
Those things suck.
No way, man. They're awesome. That one comes with two rocks.
Chris, you're awful at those crystal growing kits.
I'm bad at crystal growing. That's my fault.
So I won, right?
You won the crystal growing kit and the stickers. There you go. Congratulations, sir. Joey, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on, Juicer Cogburn. Thank you.
Oh, Chris, you're very welcome.
Alrighty, and thank you for downloading and listening to the show. We appreciate it. Remember to support R-rated movies, break up the big banks, and don't give them your stinking money. Also, read more books and be excellent to each other. We'll be back with episode 152 next week. Thank you.